for our scripture reading, Romans chapter 2. This is written to a generation of people who considered themselves to be children of God, like many today, whenever they say, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm a child of God. The question is, on what basis? And Paul is writing this particularly to some of his brethren according to the flesh, who were judgmental of others, those that were Gentiles. And they had their rules and standards and legalistic regulations that they imposed on other people. And whenever you find that, it's because people like that think themselves to be already okay. And so here in Romans chapter 2, Paul says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Now this word judgest is in a sense of one looking upon another in condescension, thinking themselves better. It's like the term we use, holier than thou. And he says, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Here's a scripture that ought to shut our mouths when it comes to looking at another and judging them based upon our standard. That's really what this is talking about. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's the hard reality of our sin nature. Maybe I have not taken and murdered with these hands anybody, but I've certainly been angry, gotten upset. So if I accuse another, according to the law of murder, I have to consider that I have the same nature. I'm a murderer by nature. And I believe we need to be careful even in how we judge false religion. I'm not saying that we don't judge it, but we judge it with discernment and not condescension. Whenever you see the way people think or act or worship, you say, well, look at there. That first reaction, according to the flesh, is a judgment. In essence, saying, I'm better than they are. But the scriptures say, remember the quarry. Remember the rock from which you were hewn. We all go back to Adam. We all go back to that fall, those fig leaves. So where thou judgest another, it says, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. The scripture we're going to consider in 1 Samuel 3:11-18, and the message this evening is concerning the God of truth and judgment. There is a standard of truth by which God judges. And if we set ourselves up as that standard, if we think our righteousness to be that standard, Paul says we have a judgment from God himself that is according to truth against them which commit such thing. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things? See, these Jews were judging the Gentiles as if they were better. But it says, doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou, here it is, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? I believe if the Spirit of God teaches us that verse 4 is showing us what will be our attitude as we contemplate even evil in the world. If you ever stop to consider, even before you speak of evil in the world, just how much evil is in your own heart, my own heart. And when you do, if the Spirit gives you light, you begin to think upon the goodness, the forbearance, and the long-suffering of God. That were it not for his mercy and grace in Christ, I'd be just like those I'm condemning. And he says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If I've been brought to repentance, been brought to Christ in repentance, it's owing to one thing, the goodness of God. Period. But after thy hardness, here he's talking about these self-righteous, religious people. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, they consider themselves to be penitent. Isn't that a word that's used today? Penitence, penitentiary. It was the idea you could put people away and reform them, a reformatory. All it does is restrain. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, impenitent toward God's righteousness, which is Christ and his work accomplished there at Calvary. Treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We're going to see this exemplified in our study in 1 Samuel 3, 11 through 18. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Every one of those words you could replace with the word Christ. What is well-doing? It's not in us, but it's the Spirit of God causing us to seek the glory of Christ, honor of Christ, that immortality that is in Christ, eternal life, who is Christ. But unto them that are contentious, and here again it's talking about religious people, self-righteous people, people that read the Bible, contentious. Why? Because they think they have a righteousness that will stand them in good stead before God. And it says here, do not obey the truth. They're not submitted to the righteousness of God that Christ came and earned and established, but obey what? Unrighteousness. Isn't that interesting? Their works religion, their following after morality, their endeavoring to establish a personal obedience before God, which is what we hear preached ad nauseum today in our generation, God calls unrighteousness. They are being obedient to another righteousness. Therefore, it's unrighteousness and indignation and wrath. The wrath of God abides upon such. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And evil here is in that sense of preferring another righteousness, the stone which the builders rejected. That's what he's talking about here. Of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Whether Jew or Gentile, if any person tries to establish another way of righteousness, tribulation, anguish upon every soul. And it's called an evil. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. You see that word worketh. It's an energizing that comes from the Spirit. Good is a word for God. In other words, that gives God all the glory. And his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There aren't two ways of salvation. For there's no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. That answers the question of what about those out there in the remote areas that never have heard? Well, they perish. God's not obligated to reveal the gospel to them, and as many as have sinned in the law. In other words, they've been raised, they cut their teeth under the law, shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just or justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. He's talking about those that think that somehow by obeying the Ten Commandments, they can be justified before God. Well, if that's the way, then do it. And not only in word, but in deed and thought. Well, what he's concluding is no man can be justified. It's not just a matter of hearing it and thinking amen. If you really want to believe that God will justify you by the works of the law, then it requires perfect obedience. And here's where Paul says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. I remember going into villages in Africa where it was wrong to steal. It was wrong to commit adultery. It was wrong to kill. And this was ingrained in those people. They'd never read the Bible. I believe that's what it's talking about when the Gentiles, the nations which have not the law, they didn't get this law as the Jews had it, but they do by nature the things contained in the law. There's a consciousness of what's right and wrong. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. Men set up laws and rules and regulations among themselves. And it says here in verse 15 then, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Even though the heart is depraved, there's a manifestation of God's standard and judgment and truth in every sinner's heart. Otherwise, they wouldn't talk about right and wrong. Or they wouldn't feel guilty for having done something wrong. And it says here, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I believe the number one reason why people take medicine to fight depression is because of guilt. They can deny this word all they want to, but there's something going on inside for which they're trying to overcome that mood. And so they look for medicine. They look for drink. They look for some activity to distract their mind. It's why they don't like quiet when they're laying there at night. They got to stay up until they literally fall into a couch or a bed somewhere and go to sleep if they're not drinking. There's this subduing of something that they deny. They don't want God to be authority, and yet every depraved creature has that law written in their hearts. And it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You can deny him all you want to, but he's still the standard, Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. That sounds like our day in so-called Christendom, boasting of God. Knowest his will. How many messages do you hear on God's will? And approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. People go and get their degrees to be able to come back and explain the law. But here it says, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. These would be the Bible thumpers. Every time they see something wrong, they got a verse. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. A form. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Here I stand before you, but ready to preach the gospel unto you, and yet am I taught of this very same gospel that I'm about ready to communicate? I pray so. Thou that preachest, a man should not steal. If you're going to make that your message, dost thou steal? I'd love to, at the end of a message on stealing, ask the preacher a question. You've just told us it's wrong to steal. Do you steal? That'd make an interesting question. That's what Paul says. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? I'd love to ask a preacher that at the end of a message. Denouncing adultery as an evil. Have you ever committed adultery? Do you commit adultery? Do you see yourself as an adulterer? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Idolatry clings to our heart like flies on flypaper. It's what we are by nature. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Because if you're going to make your boast of the law, it means thought, word, and deed, perfect obedience. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Now, that's interesting. It's being blasphemed among the Gentiles for your hypocrisy and for your supposed morality. And yet, in truth, you're no better than those against whom you preach. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. That's what they're boasting in. We're circumcised. We be the sons of Abraham. Well, it only profits if you keep the law. In other words, in every jot tittle, don't leave anything undone. If you disobey in one point, you're guilty of all. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And there, if is when. It's just telling them, you're as much lawbreakers as these that you preach against. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? That's an interesting verse if you look at it. How does the uncircumcision, that's the Gentile, keep not the law? Notice what Paul wrote, the righteousness of the law. Who is the righteousness of the law? That's Christ. If that one looks to Christ as his obedience before God and the fulfiller of the law, his very uncircumcision is he's counted as a Jew. That's a true Jew. And Paul goes on to explain it. Shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? He's saying there's some that you judge that are actually God's children. And they may not be circumcised. They may not be following the law as you set forth the law, but they're the Lord's. And they fulfill the law. How? In Christ. Being in Christ. Who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. This ought to put an end to any thinking of difference between Jew and Gentile today. He is a Jew, verse 29, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. You want to know if you're the Lord's? It says, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What a chapter. I pray the Lord will bless that to our hearing. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would impress upon us the simplicity of this word. Forgive us for looking to men or men's commentaries for answers, but simply to take this word and prayerfully read it and see how in it you yourself draw a line of distinction between those that are saved and those that are condemned, and that that one standard is not our obedience or any ceremonies or works of our own, but the very work of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would grant us that unction tonight to see him, look to him, not to any confidence in his flesh, but to Christ alone, in whose name I pray. Amen.